Kinda Funny Games Daily Assemble for Thursday, April 26, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Reverend Jared Petty.
You look exceptional.
If you are an audio listener, I am dressed as Captain America from Avengers Infinity War.
The Nomad Cap.
The look, right? I don't think he's going to be called that in the film. We were talking about this the other day, but it is look. If you didn't know, if you're an audio listener or if you're somebody who's watching, it's baby's first cosplay. I bought the Captain America Civil War bodysuit and then got acrylic paint with the help of many a cosplayer I talked to. Jessica Negri is like, get an airbrush. I'm like, that seems like way too much work for this. got acrylic paint and painted it to look more like the Nomad, the Infinity War armor.
And you did such a good job with it that I thought it was a deliberate wear and tear on a purchased costume. So it really does look
like
good.
This was the Cap Infinity War actor.
No, sir. He's improvising that whole thing.
I did. Great. Yeah, I did. I'm very happy with it. My hair is slicked back and I'm not wearing glasses for the start of the show.
Yep.
We'll see how far into the actual rundown I can keep reading and not have glasses.
I think maybe... Just do this. Yeah. Just hold them hostage over here and see what happens.
Jared, I gotta read it.
Yeah, can you read without it? Like, do you have to hold it up to your eyes?
We're about to find out. I haven't done it in a long time. Okay. You know what I mean?
Maybe I should do these back.
Yeah, well,
that's
probably
a good idea. We can switch at some point.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this. Oh, I should. Well, I'm gonna do it in house scheme, I guess. I'm dressed as Captain America because Infinity War comes out tonight. We're doing the MCU in review, the thing we've been building to since January. Going to see Infinity War tonight immediately on YouTube.com/kindoffunny, putting up our MCU in review of. Avengers Infinity War. It'll be our review. If you've never watched a kind of funny movie review, we will, of course, start spoiler free and then make a giant deal about, hey, we're going into spoilers. Turn it off now. Yeah. So if you're seeing it later, you just want to know what we think of it, you could do that.
Looking forward to watching it.
Thank you. The movie, or wait, our review or the movie?
Both. Absolutely. But I think your review represents the greatest crossover event in movie history.
I'd like to think so, too.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, totally going to watch the movie. Absolutely. Saturday, though, I'm waiting a little bit to watch it. Yeah. Absolutely.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game suns. Then, I said suns, there's only one sun in our solar system, I guess. Then, tune in. That's right, right?
What? There's only one sun?
In the solar system. Is that correct?
Well,
if I was talking about galaxy, there might be other suns in the galaxy.
Oh, there are lots of other suns in the galaxy.
But unproven. No one's seen it.
Well, actually, yes, we have. Every night when you look up the stars, you're seeing
those
suns.
Are planets, man.
No. Well, some of them are planets.
Most of them are stars.
Yeah, most of them are. That's just the light. By the way, you're looking back in time, which is awesome.
Yeah, I know a lot of them are
Isn't
dead,
that
right?
Rad? That's weird. Yeah, that's just freaking incredible. Unless it's 2010, a space odyssey, in which case Jupiter is also a sun and we have two in our solar system.
Okay.
But that hasn't, like, even though it's after 2010,
sure,
that prophecy has not come to be. So, only one sun.
Okay. Just checking out. Just wanted to get my science.
Unless you're counting the last sun of Krypton. That's a different sun.
No, we're not at all. Okay. Ah, you can tune in live to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch us as we record it. If you're watching live, we have a special job for you. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and everybody listening later on podcast services around the globe, no matter where you get the show. Thank you for your support. Consider going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Keeping the mics on and the guests rolling in.
Woohoo!
Housekeeping for you. Yes, MCU in review finale is tonight. Infinity War. We'll have details about what happens after that. And then, I should tell you, Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you today by Marvel Puzzle Quest. This is not part of the ad. The outfit is not part of the ad.
Okay.
And MeUndies, but we'll tell you about that later.
Woohoo!
For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! God, Kevin coming with the fire.
I love that.
He should do the more. He did the Kinda Funny Morning Show today, of course.
He did.
That must have woken him up and got his neurons firing in a different way.
I don't know. He's always full of energy.
Sure, but so when he's over there being a quiet church mouse sometimes, you know what I mean? He's not ready to get out of there, punch out of the blocks like he just did.
He's good on that morning show.
He is good on the morning show.
Yeah.
Of course, if you missed the morning show, youtube.com/kindoffunny. Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you, Kevin. He's just excited to be getting out of work early.
I think he just had that cocaine this morning.
Whoa, the cocaine?
I think so.
Jared?
Yeah.
Last night, Nintendo had an earnings call.
Yeah.
Now there are a million Nintendo news stories we have to go through.
There are.
And I think we just start with two, right?
Yeah, there's two.
Yeah, and then there's a rumor for the third.
Yeah.
Here's what I'd like you to do, Jared.
All right.
You are better with Japanese names. I'd like you to read the first two news stories.
Now, I'm going to butcher them now that you said that.
No, well, Kimishima, I know. That one I could have done. Right.
So after a Satoru Iwata.
Number one on the Roper Report.
Yeah, number one. Number one on the Roper Report. This from, where's this from?
Nintendo Everything.
This from Nintendo Everything.
Kimishima is stepping down as the Nintendo president.
After Satoru Iwata passed away in 2015, Tatsumi Kimishima was brought in as Nintendo's global president. Kimishima's primary role at the company will be ending soon, however. In its financial results today, Nintendo announced that Kimishima will be retiring as president. Shuntaro Furukawa, 46, will be taking over for Kimishima. He joined Nintendo in 1994 and has worked in global marketing and at the Pokemon Company.
Ooh.
Since 2016, Furukawa has been Nintendo's managing executive officer, supervisor of corporate analysis, and administration, division, and director. Kimishima will officially step down on June 28th. According to Nikkei, he'll remain with Nintendo as an advisor. Bloomberg notes Takahashi's Bloomberg also notes Takahashi Tezuka's promotion to the executive board of directors, and we'll talk about that in a second. So that's what we got for the pets.
What does it all mean, Jared? Anything important?
Yeah, a lot of important things are happening here. First off, this is no particular surprise. Kimishima was brought in very soon after Iwata. He was a senior executive, an older executive, and he really did come in, it seemed from the outside, at least with the understanding that his was a caretaker role, a transitional role, that he was there to be a steady hand for the company while they figured things out. At that time, Nintendo's future was much less certain than it seems now. That there was a lot of question about whether or not Switch would ever succeed, which seems ludicrous now when we look down at the second part of this report. But a lot of people were convinced, I think most people were convinced, that Switch was probably not going to be a great success. And so they brought in somebody stable, straightforward, somebody from the business side. He's done his thing, and they've moved on. I know very little about Mr. Furukawa. His role is primarily in marketing, as this says. He's somebody that's worked a lot on the, hey, here's how we sell things into the company. He's a business dude. He is 20 years younger than Kimishima. He's not... He's
a punk kid.
He's
46? Punk kid.
Well, I mean, Mr. Iwata was in his early 40s when he started as well.
Sure.
So that they're going with... And this says a lot. I imagine this guy's going to be at the helm for a while. Nintendo has had remarkably few presidents in its time as a games company. I mean, there was Yamauchi, and then he was followed immediately by Iwata.
Wow.
So we are looking at the, I believe, if I got this correct, only the fourth president of Nintendo since they entered the games market.
Wow.
That's pretty exceptional.
Yeah.
They've been around a long time. So that's good news for them. They have new leadership that it looks like they're going to have a unified vision going forward. This is going to make investors very happy. They're like, okay, yeah, now we have a known quantity here, somebody from the selling things in. For me, the more interesting news here is Tezuka's promotion.
Okay.
Which is, I think, is a very big deal.
Tezuka going to the executive board of directors.
Yeah, because Takashi Tezuka is, you know, we like to imagine that all video games are invented by one singular genius.
Of course.
You know,
Shigeru Miyamoto.
Exactly. Shigeru
Miyamoto. You're welcome for Fortnite.
Huh?
You're welcome for Fortnite.
Yeah, he created Fortnite.
Exactly.
Yeah, the creator of the Atari 2600, the inventor of the Xbox.
Shuhei Yoshida's father, I believe.
The guy that taught John Carmack to program.
Oh, wow. Yeah. See, there it is. One man. We told you we'd get back to it.
But Miyamoto-san, who is a genuine genius, genius or species, is a genuine genius and extraordinarily influential at Nintendo, is not the only guy that made a lot of their classics happen. Mr. Tezuka has worked alongside Miyamoto on most of the high-profile projects we associate him with. Just a second here. This is a little excessive, but I think
it's a laundry list of things he's worked on that I didn't want to print out because it's so long.
Yeah, but I think it is worth reading down if you're cool with that.
Oh my God, go for it, Jared.
He tends to be director on games, and director is a role that has a lot to do with what the unified vision of the game is going to be, what the final product is going to look like, what you play. The director's job is to make all that happen. So here's just some projects going back all the way to 1984 that Mr. Tezuka worked on. Devil World, Super Mario Brothers, little game you might have heard of.
I've heard of that one. I've heard of that one.
Lost Levels, which is Super Mario 2. The Legend of Zelda, Mario 3, Mario World, Link to the Past, Link's Awakening, Yoshi's Island, Mario 64, Star Fox 64, Yoshi's Story, Ocarina of Time, Mario Golf, Majora's Mask, Oracle of Seasons and Ages, Luigi's Mansion, Pikmin, Animal Crossing, Sunshine, Wind Waker, Double Dash, Minish Cap, Four Swords, Pikmin 2, Paper Mario, Thousand Year Door, Touch and Go, Animal Crossing Wild World, New Super Mario, Yoshi's Island DS, New Super Mario Wii, Galaxy 2, 3D Land, New Super Mario 2, New Super Mario U, New Leaf, Yoshi's New Island, Woolly World, Mario Maker, Triforce Heroes, Paper Jam, Color Splash, Super Mario Maker for 3DS, Super Mario Run, Breath of the Wild, ARMS, Pikmin. These are projects that either as a producer, supervisor, director, he's been involved in, and he's had a very active role in a lot of these. Now, he's been climbing through the company. He's been exec for a long time.
Sure.
But now he's board of directors. This man will have a tremendous influence on the business direction of this company, even more than he already does. And this is a dude who makes games.
Okay, okay.
That's why this is exciting. It's like Mystery Water running the company.
Mm.
A dude that's very much in the trenches.
Yeah, that has risen up, knows what's happening.
Yeah, this dude's same way.
When do you see the fruit of all this, right? These are always the, not problem with, but the interesting factoids for us on our side of the industry as fans of the industry, that these things happen, but they're always glacial, right? Mm-hmm. Where, okay, cool, there's a giant shift here, but when do you see anything like reverberating off of that where we know?
I think Tezuka already had enough influence in the company, kind of like Miyamoto, because even though he's not as much a household name here, it's understood within Nintendo how important he is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we'll see repercussions of this fairly quickly.
Okay.
The fact that this probably happened by consensus. If there's infighting at Nintendo, I don't think any of us know about it.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of external indication that anything like that's going on. So this is probably a good consensus decision. They've chosen safe, knowledgeable people with a long history with the company to move them forward at a time when they are prospering. I have a feeling that while we will continue to see some old line Nintendo conservatism at work, the main place we'll see immediate results is that with these guys moved upstairs, that leaves room for newer guys to move up also, and we'll continue to see the kind of innovation that's paid off in Mario Odyssey, Breath of the Wild, games that took real risks. And both those games did take huge risks.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And Breath of the Wild changed Nintendo's game-making identity. Remember 2 years ago, we would have said, Nintendo doesn't make games where you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. They don't make open worlds anymore.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Now they do. I think this just makes that even more likely.
Interesting.
That's my thought. You?
I mean, yeah, that's what I want to prep listeners / viewers for, is the fact that, yeah, this happens, but it won't be for a while. It's going to be a few E3s, really, before we see stuff happen. In terms of like, oh, here's something they've championed and made happen from the top down, rather than being where you're talking about, not even the ground, but like in the trenches, making things happen.
Well, Nintendo being Nintendo, I think we got a very clear signal. If there's any theme behind Super Mario Odyssey, it's that we know where we came from, we know where you came from, and by the way, we know where you're going, and that's where we're going to.
The
young people spoke a lot in that game's design.
Great. Let's move on to number two.
Woo!
Number two on the Roper Report. This is the Nintendo sales report, and it is huge Switch sales. And this is from US Gamer. Thank you, Jared, for grabbing this for me.
No problem at all.
If Nintendo was a character in Saturday Night Fever, it'd be strutting right now. The company's report for its 2017 fiscal earnings, published earlier today, puts the Nintendo Switch at nearly 18 million units sold as of March 31st, 2018. God damn.
Sold a few of those things.
Wow. That's a very healthy first year for Nintendo's handheld / console hybrid. By comparison, the poor Wii U's lifetime sales, also highlighted in the report, totaled 13.56 million units.
Lifetime.
The GameCube didn't fare too much better at 21.74 million units sold.
Before we read on right away, this thing has already almost outsold the GameCube, a venerable and beloved console, for its entire lifespan.
Exactly. I guess we'll get to that in a second. Here's the million-yen question, though. Will the Switch's momentum keep up long enough to touch the Wii's lofty numbers, parentheses, about 102 million units sold, or the Nintendo DS Epic Sales, 154 million sold? Maybe, maybe not. We can speculate until the cows come home to Moo Moo Farm. Man, they are all over the Nintendo puns.
They are.
But in the end, only time has the answer. For now, we can confirm the success of the Switch's hardware has translated into success for its software, too. Nintendo's fiscal report includes a listing of the best-selling games on the system. And Super Mario Odyssey comes in at number one with 10.41 million copies sold. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is second with 9.22 million sold. And The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is third with 8.48 million units sold. Here's the ranking of the rest of the Switch's bestsellers. Splatoon 2, 6.02 million sold. 1-2 Switch, 2.29 million. ARMS, 1.85 million. Xenoblade Chronicles 2, 1.31 million. Kirby Star Allies, 1.26 million.
Heck yeah!
We saw that yesterday on the NPD reports, and it was like, oh, good for them. Great for them.
Yeah.
What a great move. I mean, geez Louise. Additionally, as noted by Twinfinite, the SNES Classic has sold 5.28 million units.
I just stuck out at the end because I think that's cool.
Of course.
Yeah.
Jared, will the Switch catch up to the Wii lifetime?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think this thing's going to have a lot of legs. They're just getting started. I mean, we haven't even begun to see. Can you imagine what's going to... Okay, first off, let's start with attach rates here.
Yeah.
The attach rate for Odyssey and the attach rate for Zelda, the attach rate for Mario Kart is 50% or around that area or above, slightly below, slightly above. That's unreal.
Yeah, you figure Mario's above it, right?
Yeah.
18 million sold, and they sold 10.41 million copies of Mario. Are you kidding me?
Freaking amazing.
Not to mention, Deluxe doing it at 9.22. Like, come on.
And people who don't have these games yet are going to go out and get them.
Yeah,
So we have this tremendous attach rate, and we barely begun. Pokemon has not yet hit.
Smash Brothers
has not yet hit. I think that if once you have a proper Pokemon, if they really do, just because every indication is the 3DS is dead.
Yeah,
that means your next Pokemon game is a Switch game.
Yeah,
and when a full Pokemon game hits this thing, I can't imagine what happens because everybody, a price drop combined with a Pokemon game, they're going to sell these things. You say, yeah, I think it may catch the Wii.
That's crazy.
Well, the price point's right. It's relatively cheap compared to the competition.
In the market.
You can make the argument, mom, dad, I only need one console. I don't need a portable and a home. I've got both. It's become an indie darling. The games are spectacular. It's simple to understand.
It's the return of couch co-op, which so many people wanted and loved.
Exactly. And it's not trying to compete at a hardware level, except for its portability. I mean, it is competing at a hardware level by offering features.
Sure.
Like, in a way, frankly, the Switch has more unique features in comparison to Xbox or PlayStation than they have in comparison to one another.
Oh, well, I would say, right?
People argue they don't compete at a hardware level. Well, they do. It's just not graphics.
Yeah, exactly.
They're competing at a different hardware level.
Yeah, that's a good point. technological way.
Yeah, and that's extraordinary. Yeah. I think they may well make it to 100 million.
Wow.
Lifetime. Now that's a long time from now, and once you get price drops, Pokemon, the rest of that in, absolutely, this thing's gonna have a lot of legs.
Excellent. Well, congratulations to you, Nintendo, and everybody else. You want to talk about something that would move Switch units? Let's talk about number three. This is via Nintendo Life. They're recapping a whole bunch of stuff, but basically the rumor mill is once again spinning all about Fortnite coming to Switch. The rumor from Nintendo Life is that Fortnite on Switch will be at E3, and here comes the article. The news / rumor comes from Twitter user Leaky Panda, who, under the name Vandal Leaks, correctly leaked information surrounding the Nintendo Direct presentation in March. Leaky Panda suggests that Fortnite's Battle Royale mode will come with no substantial differences and will support cross-platform play. Perhaps the most interesting part of this leak, in quotes, however, is the suggestion that Fortnite's co-op story mode, Save the World, will also be present with some Switch-exclusive features. On other platforms, this mode allows for up to 4 players to team up online, but the Switch version is slated to support local play between 4 consoles, parentheses, which will apparently play as a large part of the port's selling point in promotional material. The leak also says that exclusive Nintendo IP related content is also being worked on exclusively for Save the World. This wouldn't be too much of a surprise given the games like Rocket League and Skyrim have done this already, and we can already imagine ourselves running around in a little Toad mushroom hat representing Switch users base with style. It's worth noting that Leaky Panda has described this information as quote-unquote gossip, telling readers to take the information with a pinch of salt in case rumblings turn out to be false, something that we definitely encourage too. And so does Kinda Funny Games Daily.
It's a perfect match.
Here's what I'm going to say, though.
Yeah.
Is that I don't know if this rumor is true of it at E3. Fortnite will be on the Nintendo Switch, period, full stop. Mm-hmm. There's no way it won't be.
Yeah.
I know when Fortnite was originally getting going and Switch was starting to take off, people were like, oh, man, is it like going to come there? And I think Epic was like, no, there's not, to put an end to it. With the success Fortnite has become, with how amazing, I continue to say, their mobile version is, I have no doubt that they can scale a version of Fortnite to run on the Switch and be fine.
Yes, if it runs on a phone, it can run on the Switch, and we've all wanted the phone game with controls, with standard controls. Well, that's what you'd get.
Yeah.
You could sit on your couch, do this, and play Fortnite, and there's enough people in the world, there are millions of people in the world, that want that and would buy it. So, yes, of course, it's a perfect match. There's no reason not to do this. Nintendo likes money. Epic likes money. This should happen.
And it would be a great E3 announcement.
Absolutely.
For that direct to come out and say that it's there. And in the cross-platform play, of course, which you would expect nothing else from. We know Epic can do it. The only thing stopping PlayStation from really getting involved with Xbox and phones or Xbox is just the fact that it's Xbox.
Yeah.
It's going to happen sooner rather than later. I don't know if this is the real one, if this is the thing, but it's going to happen. And when it does, I think it'll be awesome. It's going to be just like Rocket League. Rocket League continues to come to every platform, and man, does it continue to sell.
Yeah.
Because the game's awesome, and there's always the people who love it want it on everything. Yeah. And then there's always a new audience that hasn't had a chance to play it before.
I concur. I think I agree with everything you just said, Greg.
Do it, Epic. Do it! Number four. Jared, you added this one too. This is from Twinfinite.
Yep.
Steam review comments are now disabled by default. Do you use Steam to check out reviews for all the latest games? If it's a platform you use often or use to write your own reviews, you might want to take notice of Steam's latest measures taken on the platform. From now on, it looks like Steam will be disallowing comments on reviews by default. If you want to allow others to leave comments, you have to mark a selection box to do so.
A small story, but a follow-up to something Gary and I were talking about, or was it maybe Andrea and I were talking about last week, where when Steam had changed their privacy, it was Andrea and I talking about how Steam had changed their privacy settings by default. Some other changes being made here, and one of those is the removal of a comment section. And you and I are both kind of old line press guys. We used to work in the days when comment sections were an extraordinarily important part of websites.
I'm so old, I worked in the days where I'd publish a review on IGN or an article on IGN and then have to go to the IGN PSP message boards to put a link up to say comment here. Because there was no comments natively on IGN, which is crazy to think about now.
So I dropped this in mostly because this is a real cultural shift. Steam reviews are huge. They're a very important source of information for a lot of people. And the disabling this by default is a pretty big change.
Is the impetus here? It's disabling by default review comments. So comments on your Steam review, right?
Exactly.
I write the review and I put it up there and no one can comment on it unless I say they can.
Exactly. And I don't know if that's about toxicity or if that's about not wanting to have those discussions there or if that's about the fact that reviews can simply be screamed at now for being critical in any way.
Yeah.
This isn't me, you know, former press guy backing up against a wall and like, how dare you don't like my reviews?
Yeah.
Criticism is a word that in elements of online culture, I think we've forgotten what it actually means. Criticism does not mean hating things. Criticism means appreciating things.
From a critical level. Yeah. Where I can say that I love something, but here's what I don't like or do like or this, that, and the other.
Exactly. Criticism is about what you do and don't like. Like Dan Stapleton used to say at IGN all the time, tell me why the game is good.
Yeah.
Tell me why the game is fun. And he was always really good about making the reviews about that. Let's say, what makes this good or not good? What makes it fun or not fun? I think it's interesting that this has reached a place where they decide to disable the comments. I really do. That they've decided, you know what, by default, we're just going to let you put your opinion out there, and we're not going to encourage community discussion. Because for a long time online, the attitude among marketers, press, everyone has been, yeah, discussion's great. We all want our community coming back. We want them coming back to keep talking about these things, talking with each other. And now the default is not that. On a very, very popular section of the gaming internet space.
Sure. Yeah.
That's a big deal, I think.
I wonder how much of it, though, is to motivate people who want to give thoughtful reviews to give thoughtful reviews, or people on the fence about giving a review to give the review, right? I show up to the Steam page, I look at this game, and I go through the reviews, and I find a game that I feel gets it completely wrong, doesn't understand what this game's going for, I don't agree with. Mm-hmm. I think in the past, how it's been would be, not me, but certain people would be to click on it and go, you're fucking stupid, what an idiot, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Now that you can't do that, that's going to weed out the trolls, in quotes, the people who just want to fight. But does it also then motivate the 1-2% of people who want to go, well, that's not right. I have to get off the sidelines and fix this. I have to tell the world what I think this game does awesomely.
I kind of hope so.
I hope so too, right?
Very good point. Yeah.
Because that's what we've lost with all this connectivity is the fact that you can get out and say whatever you want and give a sterling criticism and do a great review and be super thorough, but then somebody wants to give the 140 character response to it, which is boiling down what they feel about it to the thing, because they're in between class and the next class. They're on the train to work. They're at home and they got to get back to cooking dinner and they just want to fire off that you're wrong about this.
Yeah.
And then there's just the professional people who want to come in there, the professional trolls who want to just come in there and start shit to start shit.
Yeah.
I'd rather see it, yeah, swing
you
back.
You got to start stuff. You got to get the snark. You got to,
yeah.
Then this may very well encourage more criticism.
Yeah, it's a swing back, and I guess, yeah, kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong about this. I can't leave a comment on an Amazon review, right? Like, I review the Amazon product on the 5-star scale, but there's not then people commenting beneath my review.
There used to be, I believe.
Is there maybe? Am I wrong about this?
No, it's been a while.
Because now there's the FAQ section of, like, you go up there and it's like, but for real, how does this thing fit? And somebody can answer it, yeah, but I don't know.
I haven't left an Amazon review in so long. I have done it, but it's been ages.
Yeah.
So years.
Hopefully that's what this does and motivates it in a different way, because you can still go on the message boards and be mean to each other. You can still go to Reset Era or NeoGAF or
a few places
Reddit.
On the internet you can be mean to one another.
Yeah, in our community.
No,
we
like the niceness around here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay not to like things, just not okay to not to like them meanly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what this does for reviews on Steam, Jared.
Yeah.
But it's going to take so long to see the fruits of those labors. If I wanted to see fruits of labors right now, where would I go to find out what video games came to the mom and grab shops?
Well, I would shake the tree of the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Before I do the jingle, look at your screen right now. Look at how good I look in this suit. I should just wear this thing all the time.
Yeah, you should.
Out today. And I went to Kotaku and just kind of put them all in there. Usually I go to the Nintendo part and put the Nintendo part in and then get the other stuff. So I can't just, well, you know, I still can, I guess. If I don't say a platform, because it's Thursday, it's coming to Switch today.
Okay, that's how we do it. If you don't say the platform. Isn't it great that Kotaku does this every week?
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's wonderful.
One of the best articles they put up, and I'm there every day checking it out. Dungeon Stars is on early access on Steam. Solo, the introspective puzzler from the Team Gotham set on a gorgeous and surreal archipelago, is out on Steam today.
What a good word.
I'm just stealing it right from the press releases. Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm Trilogy, now available on Nintendo Switch. Damn, I said Switch. Here we go. Now we're going to do it. If I don't say it, it's Switch. A robot named Fight. ACA Neo Geo Ghost Pilots. Agatha Knife. Another Lost Phone, Laura's Story. Digital Angling. This is coming to PSVR. Goita Switch. We're back to Switch stuff now. Korg Gadget for Nintendo Switch. This is what you're telling me about.
I'm really excited about this.
Explain it to them again.
So Korg is a company that makes synthesizers. Uh-huh. And they've been around a long time. And they made a really neat thing for the DS a few years ago that was a DS cart that was a synthesizer. This is kind of pre-iPhone, like before we had all these smartphone MIDI and music creation apps. And it was a Korg synthesizer in your DS. And it was this really neat, high, very powerful a piece of synth software that could produce really amazing music out of that little piece of hardware that's never built for that. Now they've created a more interactive version of that idea for the Switch that's a combination of a music creation studio with a lot of intuitive, you know, kind of ground level tools for making your own music.
Yeah.
And multiplayer game modes that are designed so you're cooperatively creating music in the same room, like couch co-op music making.
Okay.
Where four of you are sitting there with Joy-Cons and using them in different ways to all create a song on the fly together. It's not really, from my understanding, I haven't played this yet. I'm buying this today. Like, I'm going to go home and start playing with it today. I'm really excited about it because the other stuff they've done has been very interesting. And this is the kind of experience that I dream about. I feel like I like to make music on the side. I never share it with anybody.
Oh, wow.
But I actually do make music occasionally. And I'm not classically trained, although I've done some self-taught stuff. And there aren't very many tools that are just like, figure out a melody, build in some other thing, you know, layer it on that are intuitive and ground level that also have a lot of power and diversity when you get into it. There's not a lot of that out there. This looks like it might hit that rare sweet spot.
Okay.
Yeah, for somebody like me that's not invested enough to be a real composer, but that wants to be able to noodle around with music.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. And then I'm sure Brian Altano will get it and make some amazing song and put it up on Twitter.
I already invited Brian Altano over for a 4-player like music party. I want to get some people to get you. You want to come make some music?
No, I can't make music.
I know
my limits. I can sing real well, but other than that.
Well, that co-op mode.
Hacking me a hero, baby. Hello Kitty Cruisers comes to Switch today. Late night shift. Late Night Shift. That's the end of that title. Light Fall. Again, we are to knob switch quality titles here on video games. MLB Home Run Derby VR comes to PlayStation VR. Shopkeep 2 comes to PC. Sky Rogue comes to Switch. Space Jacked PS4. Sparkle Zero comes to Switch. Survive Mr. Cube comes to PlayStation 4. Unalive comes to Wii U. Max, The Curse of Brotherhood launches at retail for Nintendo Switch.
Okay, so you talked about Unalive coming to Wii U. This is a new Wii U game. So I thought I was done because we talked about this, I think, a week or two ago. Yeah. That there was a new Wii U game called Shadow Archery.
Yep.
That was coming out. I did go home and play the new Wii U game, Shadow Archery. And as I downloaded it, discovered it that Unalive also exists. So if you want to hear my 1 minute review of Shadow Archery, Gamescast will be talking about that.
So. Recording Gamescast live today.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames in the afternoon. You can catch it, of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames tomorrow, and then youtube.com/kindoffunnygames for free.
I got to go back and play Unalive because I'm on a quest to play the last Wii U game.
I like how they're just going to keep torturing you. Yeah. Like every 2 weeks, they just release another Wii U game. God dang it.
Well, let me tell you what, Shadow Archery, that there was a game.
Here's a question for you, Jared Petty.
What's up, my friend?
You, Mr. Retro Gaming, you got it. You play all these different systems. You got all these different things. Do you have a permanent setup at home that's everything ready to go?
I do now. Okay. And I used to. And then there was a long period where I didn't. And now it's all coming back together. Yes. Okay. And a lot of this has to do with working on Hot Blip Jump, where I've constantly got a capture. So my capture deck right now, I think I have 10 different capture inputs set up altogether circuits. And I'm actually getting myself what's called a FrameMeister, which is an HDMI converter for older consoles.
Nice.
To do nicer, because right now I'm just doing direct RCA, and it's a fine converter, but it's technical.
How much is that? Because my problem is I want to play WWF No Mercy all the time, of course.
Okay.
But I bought the cheapo, you know, composite in, HDMI out. One worked for a while, then broke, and then I got another one. It broke immediately.
What platform is No Mercy?
N64.
N64. Okay, so for that, if you just want to play it and you don't mind it looking smeary,
yeah.
I have a piece of equipment I can recommend that I've forgotten the name of right now, that I have at home in use.
Okay.
But if you want to spend like $400, you can get a FrameMeister.
I do not. Cool Greg and I do not want to play $400 No Mercy. Yeah. We just want to play No Mercy.
But if you want to spend like $20 to play it and look pretty good, you can make that happen.
Okay, totally. Cool. All right.
Yeah, but I do have a setup. And again, remember, I'm not really a collector at this point. I sold my collection.
You sold your collection,
Although I'm thinking about doing a Twitch show about recollection.
Okay.
About one piece at a time, putting it all back together.
Yeah.
Because I've been slowly for this job doing some of that. But yeah, I have a setup.
Okay. Right
now. That was a long answer to a short question.
New dates for you. Adventure Time. Pirates of the Enchirion comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC on July 17th in the US and July 20th globally. The digital version of Flipping Death spooks its way onto the Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Steam in August 2018. These digital goodies won't be haunting you alone for too long. After the game's digital debut, we're releasing a retail version for the Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. The boxed versions come with physical treats and are published by our friends over at Rising Star Games. I copied that out because I saw Flipping Death at that Xbox deal at GDC. Mm-hmm. Really funny. Okay. Reminded me a lot of Deathspank. Remember Deathspank?
I love Deathspank.
That kind of comedy in it. Different gameplay where you die and you're like, I shouldn't die, and you go talk to Death, and Death thinks you're the temp. So he gives you the sickle and the cloak and bails. And so then you have to go through talking to the ghosts in the ghost world. And then they'll give you like, oh man, this is what I need to do. You then, like, you're walking and you can see like the shadows of the real world on the other side. It's a 2D plane. And then you line up with those people, jump through to possess them, and the world flips, and then you're the possessed person now in the real world trying to do the objectives over there so that the people on the ghost world are happy.
I am so sold on this.
Really funny. Really funny game.
The next Hot Blip's about death.
Oh, really?
So I think I got to go play this.
Oh, my gosh. I'll try to rush it for you, but they're coming out in July.
No, I can't. Well, never mind. That's going to have to
be. Oh, August, actually. August 2018. Yeah, I read the information and immediately forgot it. I'm very good at my job.
I got to play this. It sounds almost like, gosh, that's amazing. Oh, I want to play this so bad. I'm going to stop talking.
Okay. And then 3/4 Home Extended Edition is coming to the Nintendo Switch on May 10th, 2018. Loved that one. Can't recommend it enough. Of course, you play it on your Vita for easy trophies, but if you want to just play it on Switch, whatever, have your way.
Or for the quality of the game.
Or for the game. Yes, the quality of the game is quite good, but then it's good trophies as well. Time for reader mail, but first I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by Marvel Puzzle Quest and MeUndies. Let's start with Marvel Puzzle Quest.
All right.
You've heard the shtick all week of me talking about this. I thought Puzzle Quest was dead. I loved Puzzle Quest on PSP and, of course, on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. But whatever. PSP was great, and then it kind of went away, and I was sad to see it go. I missed it. Then I heard about Marvel Puzzle Quest, saw people playing this free-to-play game on mobile, and I was like, whatever, it's not a real Puzzle Quest. Mm-hmm. Then they said you have to play it. I sat down and played it. It's real Puzzle Quest, but yeah, with Marvel villains and heroes, so you got to play it now too. There are more than 150 superheroes and villains packed into this game, like Spider-Man, Iron Man, Black Panther, Deadpool, and more. Of course, Marvel Puzzle Quest is Marvel's only match 3 puzzle RPG mobile game experience, and you can download it for free today. There's Infinity War goodies, which I'll get to in a sec. But of course, you can play with other people. Once you have your team set, you can join friends or other Marvel enthusiasts and be part of an alliance and compete against other people in leaderboard and weekly tournaments.
That's exciting. You've been doing that?
I have not yet. Okay. However, when we get to squad up, somebody wrote in with their alliance that we're going to put out there, and we're going to fill it with best friends, and everybody's going to play together.
Rad!
You can play new events and tournaments. Like I said, 150 characters. They have a special offer for new players, however. You get a free 3-star Thanos for Marvel Puzzle Quest available at www.d3go.com/mpqthanos. That's a long URL, of course. We have the URL in the description of this episode. But if you're wandering around and want to do that, you can get it.
Go get you a free Thanos.
And only new players get it. It's Thanos. Match 3. Puzzle Quest ain't dead. I'm playing it and I like it a lot.
Rad. I like Puzzle Quest.
Me too. Have you started playing this one?
No, I haven't.
You should start playing it because it's just more Puzzle Quest. I'm like, yep. All
okay.
In. Totally in.
Yep.
Next sponsor, of course, is MeUndies. Said this a million times. Usually I stand up and I yank my underwear out of my thing. But yeah, as I'm dressed as Captain America. However, something I noticed on the once I put it on at work, yeah, not in the dark of my bedroom anymore, you can see my underwear through it.
You can.
So absolutely, as you see, I'm wearing my MeUndies. They are the polka dot. They kind of look camouflage. They're this polka dot weird camouflage thing that I love very much. Yeah. I exclusively wear MeUndies. I was doing this before they ever sponsored the show. I've never gotten free underwear from them.
No kidding.
Yeah. They're amazing. They're soft. They have cool prints. They change out all the time. And they'll mail them to you. It's just awesome underwear.
I ordered my first pair of MeUndies this morning.
Give me a high five. That's my man, Jared Petty. That's right. Thank you.
Well, classic black. I'm a briefs fan.
Sure. So. Oh, briefs. I do boxer briefs.
No, okay. I'm a purist on that. Okay. So I was a boxer guy for a while.
Yeah.
Then I tried the boxer brief and I was like, nope, no half measures. Mm. And then I went back to briefs.
Okay. You can pick your undies over at MeUndies. Of course, you'll get 20% off and free shipping if you use the code that I'm about to read you, which is MeUndies.com/gamesdaily to get your 20% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to MeUndies.com/gamesdaily, just like Jared did. I paid full price. Don't be a sucker like me. Let's go into questions here now.
Actually, I think I paid full price.
God dang it, Jared. Cool Greg is leaving this up. And yeah, you can apparently comment on Amazon reviews because there's a little comment right there thing. So I was wrong about that.
There
Thank
we
you.
Go.
There
okay.
you go. Thanks, Cool Greg. Made me look like an idiot on my own show. You made me look stupid, Cool.
No, you didn't make it because you would have gotten to your wrong.
Yeah, and then I'm sure there's one in there like, this is how it goes. Is somebody making cotton candy? Because it smells delicious in here all of a sudden.
That's what my flatulence smells.
Am I having a stroke?
No.
Am I having a cotton candy stroke?
That's how
you do it?
When I fart, that smells like cotton candy.
God bless you.
Yeah.
You're free to eat beans anytime before you come over here. Don't worry about it. Let's do this. Ralph from Chicago.
All right.
Writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can and says, hi, KFGD crew.
Hi.
Something Andrea said in last week's show really stuck with me. She said, I feel bad for God of War because it's so good, but it came out the same year as Red Dead Redemption 2. My question is, why are people so sure the next Red Dead Redemption is going to be so great? I feel like it sets people up for disappointment. Of course, based on pedigree, we know certain games are going to be good in to some extent. But everyone I follow is so positive that the game will be game of the year. I would also like to hear your thoughts on how this mindset from the market affects the developers. I feel like the added weight to these expectations could be crippling. Thank you, Ralph from Chicago. Good question.
Yeah, it is a good question. It's a thoughtful question.
I think I think it goes both ways. When I came out and I was like, God of War is my game of the year, I immediately had to be like, I know it's only April. Because so many people were like, oh yeah, it's only April. Like, it can't, when you start talking about game of the year, it's like you're talking about who's going to headline WrestleMania or something.
Yeah.
You start betting on the big AAA wrestlers, big AAA games you know are going to go out there and do it. Same thing when you're talking about like Infinity War. Mm-hmm. It could be terrible, but the Russo brothers have been pretty great so far, so I'm pretty sure this movie's going to be great. Hopefully, knock on wood. Shut up, you. We're not getting into an MCU debate right now with you. It's the same way here. Of like, I think Red Dead Redemption, PS3, 360, was so many people's game of the year back then. Mm-hmm. Put Rockstar San Diego on the map, put that franchise on the map in such a different way. The fact that Rockstar's doing it again, Red Dead Redemption 2, even just a little bit of screenshots we've seen, a little bit of footage we've seen,
mm-hmm.
I think that catapults it up as, well, it's a returning champion. We assume when we get to Game of the Year, it'll be in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's founded or not, I can't tell you. I think a lot of people would say, well, that's probably how we felt about L.A. Noire when you saw stuff. But L.A. Noire, for some people, wasn't in Game of the Year conversation.
Well, I think that everything you just said has a lot of weight and merit, but I think there's even more to factor
Late
in
Omni-Man.
This. There are more reasons than that to believe this. One of those is that this is the studio that makes cinematic interactive games, that makes open world games or games that at least have huge open world elements that are drawn from obvious cinematic influences. That is their specialty.
Sure.
Rockstar
sure.
is, in a lot of ways, as much a film company as they are a video game company. And this is them in their wheelhouse doing something that they have put a lot of very quiet and thoughtful prestige around. Something to think about in video games is when a large studio doesn't say a lot about something beforehand, that's usually a very, very good sign.
Yeah, look at God of War.
Yeah, exactly. God of War's marketing, very restrained. Switch's marketing, very restrained. Lots of things just kind of sat back and just like, you know what? And the closer you get, the more you hear about it. But it's not an out-of-control hype machine. Instead, it expresses a confidence. When people won't give you a review copy, that's another, that's a whole other world there. But that's sometimes they're going, huh, I'm not sure about that. But this is a studio with a beyond proven track record. Some of the best open world games ever made, that make some of the best film inspired games ever made, making the sequel to one of the best film inspired games ever made in a genre that they completely understand. A studio that's demonstrated a uncommon commitment to creating artistically interesting games with innovative gameplay and a lot of really thoughtful merit that make new things happen in video games just about every generation. You think about what GTA 5 did.
Hell
it was
yeah.
extraordinary. And they've taken 5 years to do it. And that is exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
They take their time and nobody else or almost nobody else, Nintendo, does it. Breath of the Wild took that long. That turned out pretty well.
Yeah.
And there's no leaks of confusion or no, it's just people working on a thing till it's right, till it's the way they want it. They have that ability because of their financial structure and their previous successes. All of that together creates very fertile ground for the kind of expectation that's being set. And that's why I think people are so confident in this game. It's why I am. What are your thoughts on that?
No, you're nailing it as well. I think this is all stuff that's layered on top of this game and what your expectations are. And I think at this point, for the most part, it is, it's a Rockstar game and Rockstar themselves are making it. Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah. I'm not worried about it. Like, what you look back and like what games haven't clicked for them or whatever. It's like, well, I'm not worried about the Red Dead team fucking this up.
No, I said this before on another episode and I still believe it. This is not the sequel to Red Dead Redemption. This is the sequel to GTA 5. This is their
everything we've learned.
This is their new pillar.
Yeah.
I look forward to it. I think that from other studios, I can see botching a major sequel like this. I have no reason to believe that Rockstar will mess this up, and every reason to believe it's going to be great.
Right,
and that's just based on years of history.
As good as Red Dead 1 was, or Red Dead Redemption was. I feel like the one common complaint was that, it dragged when we got to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
It took too long. And like that, so like if pacing's the one thing, they're like, well, we need to nail that. I feel like this game's going to roll at such an interesting clip.
For all our criticisms
of
a studio's previous work, understand that a good studio like Rockstar is even more aware.
They are the most critical.
Are the most critical of their own work.
Which brings up this next question, right? Of like, how does this affect the developers? I feel like the added weight of expectations could be crippling. Sure, but I think that they knew that from the onset. And I think that Rockstar thrives with that. Because Rockstar, from the top down with the Hauser brothers, right? It seems like it is, all right, shake it up. Like, we don't make just the exact same thing again. Let's add more characters. Let's move to this place. Let's do these different things.
They care. Yeah. I'm not trying to be effusive here, but it's very obvious that studio cares about video games and is willing to take risks to create things they care about.
Yeah.
And that's another reason I believe it's going to be good. And frankly, it parallels what we see in, you know, look at Sony's situation creating God of War. They don't have to try to sell us online DLC. They don't have to try to sell us loot boxes. Yeah. They're just trying to create a very good game that's designed to sell PlayStations.
Yeah.
So they can zero in on a focused single player experience and do what they want with it and just be like, all we have to do is create a game so compelling somebody runs out to buy a PlayStation to play it.
Yeah.
Or a PS Pro to play it beautifully, either way. And yeah, and that's what they did.
Yeah.
They focused on that and they had that creative luxury. Rockstar has created a situation where they have a different kind of but equally powerful creative luxury combined with a track record. I think it's going to succeed.
Me too. Lyra writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Dear Greg and Jared, I keep going to push my glasses back because it's out of focus, but I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep looking like Captain America. Dear Greg and Jared, I am writing to you regarding the transphobic backlash to Battletech. Recently, the mech strategy game Battletech released, parentheses, PC dorks only, and has seen an unfortunate transphobic pushback because it included the option to choose gender-neutral pronouns, they/them, in the character creation screen. You only need to look at the game at the Steam reviews, Reddit, or Twitter searches to see. GMG, which is Green Man Gaming, just had a post about it, which I went and read. As a trans gamer, on the one hand, I am confused and disappointed by this, particularly because the inclusion of this option doesn't even affect the gameplay one bit. On the other, I am unsurprised because the gaming community has a well-earned reputation for hostility to, quote-unquote, SJW issues. My question is, how do you think Kinda Funny and the other gaming communities can help educate folks / help stop the hate towards queer and trans people in gaming? Thanks for all you do, Lyra.
Really glad you picked this question.
That's how we can help, is to talk about it. Of course, Lear, I'm sorry for you and any other trans person being affected by this. I'm sorry for anybody who sees this kind of hate pop up in a comment on a Reddit, on a sub. I'm sorry that the Battletech people, devs who put this in there, being like, oh, let's do this to be more inclusive, are getting shit for it and getting Steam reviews. Yada, yada.
Yeah, you remember in Rogue Legacy. You ever play that?
Of course, I love Rogue Legacy.
Remember what, you know, the gimmick of Rogue Legacy is every new generation, every time you die, your descendant takes over.
Yeah.
And every descendant is born with a random number of variables that affect how they play.
Yeah.
One of the random variables, do you remember this?
Yeah, gay.
Was gay. Gay didn't change anything.
And people
about
were like,
you.
Oh, I've played it. I don't notice a difference. And everybody's like, yes, that's the fucking point. Come on.
So whatever sexual identity is intrinsic in your life, I think that one of the things we can do to educate as well as we can is that, folks, it transcends far beyond politics. This is about being. This is about who we are. And for the love of all, why hate someone for who they are?
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Why does somebody wanting to be called referred to as they? Why does this? I have so many other things to deal with in my life. Why would this ever? The only thing for me is it's been the hardest thing of, as we've moved towards this, turning off my AP style guide from 2005 when I was taught, right? When I'd see they and that would be a correction because obviously it has to be he or she. Mm-hmm. And now the fact that we've moved to this, it's like, oh, right, cool. I just have to get over that. And that's not me getting over it from a personal belief thing as much as it is my education on trying to be a good writer.
Language changes along with culture. Culture changes sometimes for very good reasons.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is I think it's very hard for people to... I think that people have always been very bad at starting a thought by putting themselves in someone else's shoes. Mm-hmm. Imagine what it's like to be someone else before you insult them.
Sure.
Before you attack them. And I come from a fairly conservative Orthodox Christian background. And I have in my past said some horrible things about sexual identity.
Oh, sure.
That I can never take back. And I hurt people by saying those things.
Me too. I tell my story all the time of throwing around gay and not understanding what it means or why that's so gay and this, that, and the other. And not being that's so homosexual, but being that's so stupid and having to be called out on that by, you know, my first gay friend of like, and being like, hey, I know you're not trying, but you're offending people.
And I've walked through my entire life with an easy button being a you know, heterosexual dude.
Yeah.
I've never had to.
White dude.
Yeah. Even exactly, heterosexual white dude.
We play life on easy mode.
I'm an old heterosexual white dude. Yeah. Like, yeah, my yeah, life yeah. is the easiest it can possibly be. I can. Was it Ted Danson said you can only fail upward?
Yeah.
And, but when it comes to sexuality, nobody's ever looked at me and gone, well, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, of course. You've never had to deal with gender identity like this.
What you feel toward other people, your relationships, that's wrong in the eyes of God and man.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
What you're doing is disgraceful, destructive. You are loathed. You are existentially unvalued. You are wrong. I've never been shunned by family. I've never been pushed away by former friends. I've never been spurned by people. But that happens to so many people every day, and it only happens because we as human beings make choices that inflict that on them. There is nothing in nature that is causing that oppression. That's something people choose to do every day. It's a man-made problem, a human-made problem. It's something we created. It could disappear tomorrow if we all decided not to do it anymore. And the world would be a more peaceful, happier place where people were able to live their lives. Sorry, I got a little ranty there.
It's fine. You're nailing it, right? And I think to Lyra's question, that's the answer. How do we as kind of funny, the best friends, how does gaming communities, how do you stop this? You stop it by talking about it. You stop it by standing next to those you believe in. You stop it by standing up for it. You see it when, and I mean this in such a broad sense, but when somebody wants to just throw around that in a sense of not understanding they're offending somebody, when somebody wants to throw around like, oh man, don't be such an SJW cuck, tell them to fuck off, and like, no, don't tell them to fuck off, that it escalates. To explain to them why that's a stupid thing of like, no, like that's a label people are applying to people to shut people up from the beginning, because it's getting to the point of where it was, I think, when we started doing Kind of Funny, where I started doing the channels and all the stuff and found all these amazing people that were consuming my content at IGN, but I never had a connection with because the comment section was so bad. And you didn't think to go in there and have, there was no way to have a real conversation. So we came off and we did our own thing. We formed this group. And yes, we have flare ups all the time where we don't agree with each other. But in the end, we come back to the idea that we are best friends and there is common ground here. And like, we need to spread that message to other people in other corners of the internet on issues like this. Yeah. And be better to each other, as I say often.
Well said, Greg.
You too, buddy. Let's see what else we got here. We'll switch gears hard. How about that? I feel like we've talked about that. I'm in a Captain America suit, but I kind of feel like we've talked about that. What does it mean? I don't know what that one. Exclusive. I hear you. Let's dream a bit.
Oh, I love this.
Harry J writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, it's not news to anyone that PlayStation has been killing Xbox this generation with their great exclusive games. If you ran Microsoft for a day and you could snap your fingers and make any new Xbox exclusive title appear, what would it look like? And what are your predictions for what Xbox is working on in the exclusive space, parentheses, new IP?
Oh, I mean, I'm going to make my AAA dream game. It's not going to save Xbox. I just want to make it.
Okay.
I
only have What's to be it going to be?
For a day. I'm not responsible. I want my Toontown game.
Oh, God, you just killed Xbox.
Yeah, I've wanted this my whole life. I want an open world Toontown game based on the
Roger Rabbit
idea around Roger okay. Rabbit. But it's like what Ready Player One kind of should have been.
Okay.
Just this delightful, joyful celebration of all cartoon IPs.
Sure.
Throw it into one massive open world together.
Okay.
So I've got my Disney characters and my Warner Brothers characters and my Batman the Animated Series and my Steven Universe and all running around together as party members and people you're interacting with in a vast, lovingly crafted cartoon universe. That's the game I want to exist more than anything. Okay. I think it could be a delight. It's impossible from an IP perspective to be able to license all
crazy
those
things happen. Crazy things happen.
But I mean,
can
you imagine like a, you know, again, you take somebody like you have a Rockstar produced version, you know, a 5-year open world, giant, beautiful game built around all your favorite cartoon characters and all your favorite settings from every Disney movie and Saturday morning cartoon and Thursday afternoon cartoon. And it'd be great. I want that.
Okay. I mean, mine, this actually ties into Last Life Gamer's question, who wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and was basically like, do you think we'll ever see, you're about to watch Avengers Infinity War, do you think we'd ever see an MCU equivalent in the gaming world? I don't think you could. Same idea. Licensing this. Does Insomniac want to be tied to what Crystal's doing? Like, there's going to be conversations they want to pull from different characters, yada, yada, yada. I do think that what would be a great Xbox exclusive would be to go to Crystal Dynamics and pick up the Avengers.
Ah.
And be like, hey, like, cool, you guys, Spider-Man's over at PlayStation. We need to throw down big bucks and we need to make this work. And we want to take this Avengers game that we don't know anything about other than that teaser trailer and be like, that's going to be an Xbox exclusive.
Can you imagine? It'd be amazing. Can you imagine how much money you'd have to spend to make that happen? Because with the install base of the PlayStation.
Sure. Yeah, you're turning your money. Yeah, they're turning their back on a lot of money, which is why it's tough. To Harry J's question, you know, what predictions for what Xbox is working on in their exclusive space, new IPs and stuff. Oh, another one I want to toss out is Rocksteady. Oh, like, yeah. I still think this is the year we hear for something from Rocksteady.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's on Xbox or PlayStation stage at E3. I don't think it would be exclusive to either of them. Yeah. But, like, Rocksteady, I think, would do something awesome with it, and that'd be somebody I'd totally toss money at for it. In terms of what are your predictions for Xbox, I think they've been working on a lot of exclusive stuff.
Yeah.
I still don't know. It's similar to what we're talking about with the Nintendo stuff. If we see that tree bear fruit this year.
Yeah.
I feel like when, you know, this past year we've seen Phil Spencer talk about, like, we understand the need for exclusives in this. They're important to us going forward. Saying that is great, and I think that makes your future look a lot brighter, but I don't know if you can spin those wheels up quick enough to get to E3 and have playable slices of it. Yeah. Maybe you go the EA way from a couple years ago of, hey, here's what all of our studios are working on, and glimpses of, like, at, you know, for EA when it was Battlefront, it was Amy's game, they were looking at other stuff. I don't know. But what I love about E3 is being caught off guard. So yeah, I hate my predictions never come true.
The Death Stranding reveal is still one of my favorite E3 moments. Just like sitting there going, well, I didn't know that was going to happen.
That was the thing I just saw.
Holy cow. Especially after all the Silent Hills drama.
Yeah.
But yeah, Avengers would be amazing if they could pay for it. The other one, you mentioned Rocksteady. I have no idea if this is what they're working on or not, but if they could somehow lock down Harry Potter as an Xbox.
Everybody says that. If they could do Harry Potter, if they could do Ninja Turtles, if they could fucking...
I think Harry Potter... Ninja Turtles is fine. Justice I love Ninja Turtles. But I think Harry Potter is seismic. Like, if you have Harry Potter, you change the landscape. The problem is I'm not sure that anybody would be interested in keeping Harry Potter away from Switch now. Because I think that would be a very good place for a Harry Potter game.
Sure. So. Jared, it's time to squad up. This Woo-hoo! Is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in video games. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Digga needs help. Not really. On Marvel Puzzle Quest. He spelled it differently, but he's a Marvel Puzzle Quest on mobile, iOS, or Android. Full disclosure, of course, as you know from listening to this show, this is an ad we've been doing on this show. I have legitimately been playing it. I have legitimately liked it. This is not part of the ad, but people are listening to us and going and getting that Thanos thing and playing, so I'm bringing you all together.
Yeah, you're happy to talk about a good game.
Yeah, exactly. The alliance name is KF Best Friends, all one word, and Digga says, I have been playing on and off for years, and all of my friends have fallen off, so I created a new alliance. It is currently set to private, so make sure you select the private groups option. Please come join so we can help each other with team-ups and group events.
Yeah.
So that's KF Best Friends, all one word. Let's go out there and get them. Thanks, D, for writing in.
Lovely.
Jared, it's time to check in on your wrong.
Yeah, this time I'm looking at here.
Right? Before, this is just for you and me. This is inside baseball. Remember how you were like, oh, the thing got screwed up before with the Lions?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know who did it. I did it this time. This was on me.
Oh, you screwed it up?
I screwed it up this time. So yeah.
So you got it pulled up? We good?
Or is it it's here. Up? It's here. I was just like, I deleted the old things wrong. So here you go.
Works,
here we go.
Man. No salt today. So
I'm not going to go into it. Kebabs is trying to correct me on the sun stuff. You already corrected us on it. It's fine.
All right.
Capitalist Pig says, you can leave comments on reviews. Great.
Yeah.
Kebabs writes in and says, to add to the Steam's disabling of comments, or default disabling of comments, I think the change is to make Steam closer to a store page than a message board. Of the four major storefronts, PSN, Xbox Live, eShop, and Steam, Steam is the only one that allows you to leave your own comments and written reviews at all. So there you go.
That's an interesting thought.
Lord of Pwn writes in and says, regarding Fortnite on Switch rumor, he says he came late, so he's not sure. The rumor that Fortnite is coming to Switch with exclusive content is coming from... Yeah, no, we already read all that. Sorry. Yeah. All
right.
And then Kebab says, I suspect Enderichion or whatever in Adventure Time game is meant to be pronounced Caribbean. Like Carichian. As a reference to Pirates of the Caribbean.
Caribbean Queen?
But they spelled it Enderichion. I don't know. I'm not going to give you that, Kebabs. No. I'm not wrong about that.
Now we're sharing the same dream and our hearts will be
Caribbean Queen. Now we're sharing the same dream, and our hearts will beat as one. No more love on the run. What a fucking jam.
Yeah.
Everybody go download that right now.
Billy Ocean.
And I'll just do this in case you're, if it works for you. Alexa, play Caribbean Queen. There you go.
You're horrible.
I sure love doing it sometimes. You're a mean man. Yeah, sometimes. I don't know if it'll work this way. Hey, Siri, play Caribbean Queen.
Let's see. Oh, let's see. Drama. Siri's thinking.
Siri's thinking real hard on my end.
Sorry.
I find
Caribbean
Queen in your music. Oh. Sure, okay, I don't have it. Okay, all cool. Right. If you own it already, yeah. I need to link it to Spotify.
What has she just done?
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. Tomorrow, Tim Geddes will be here with me. Of course, tonight, we're all going off to see Avengers Infinity War. Please get over to kindoffunny.com, youtube.com/kindoffunny, podcast services around the globe to watch or listen to that review, which we will get up as soon as this all ends. Remember, you can watch this show on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast services around the globe. This is Jared Petty. Jared, where can people find you?
People can find me at hotblipjump.com, where I make kind of neat documentary video essay diary / things about video games and why they matter and how they're all connected. I really enjoy doing that, and I hope you'll come take a look at them, because they're real good, I think.
They are real good. Yeah, Greg agrees. Greg thinks that, too.
On top of that, people can also find me, PettyComicJared, on Twitter. And I'm same on Instagram. I got me one of them newfangled Instagrams. And it's not entirely narcissistic, so yeah. I think it's worth popping over there.
Mine is. At Game Over Greggy. I think I put up a lot of great photos. I'm trying over there. I'm using filters. I'm doing it. Thank you. It's the beer. It's all the beer. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.